Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online.
Hmm.
They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's Reality Gaze. Let's love.
Okay, I'm a judgmental bitch.
And water's wet.
But I would be reduced to ashes around Cleo's friend Jane.
Oh. Ooh.
The way she just smiles at him.
Powerful.
And I almost felt bad for him. At one point.
No.
They're up first, and I want to talk to you about this. I agree. I found myself wanting to defend him for a couple reasons.
Oh, no.
I'm going to ask you, too, because you are also someone who talks to strangers, because so I'm going to read you for filth and ask you about it.
Oh, now you're going to talk to me. Like, this wasn't about Christian. This is just about a way
to
shame me. Well, what if I was in New York City over the weekend and I walked by some guy and he was yawning and I looked at him as he was sitting on the street and I said, well, sugar, you're going to make me yawn too. And I just yawned and he looked at me like I was from Mars. And my two friends that were with me laughed so hard and said, that's the most non-New York thing I've ever seen in my life.
That man had not been spoken to by a stranger.
He was a very cute young man. I said he yawned, and I said, well, sugar, you're going to make me yawn. He laughed.
I'm going to have thoughts about how to diagnose you.
You can't put a muzzle on me. You already tried like 5 years ago. That's why I have to get braces now.
But it's interesting because I think it's... I don't like it when anyone gangs up on anyone, even if they're a bad person.
Agreed.
So we're gonna talk about it a little bit. But boy, Jane, the way she was just smiling at him and going, so good to meet you.
There is, we'll talk about it, but there is a bit from Cleo of, do you like him? Or now, because he's been an asshole to you, are you just...
not testing him, but just dragging him through the muck.
Oh, I don't think that's it. I think she does want to get back at him for some things. I think she's still hopelessly in love with him.
I still think that, too.
Yeah. Yo, this is B90. This is Reality Gaze. B90.
B90.
No.
No.
B90.
B90.
B90, Season 6, Episode 14, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dance. We've already discussed Patrick Swayze and me dancing with Brandy Buck at nauseam.
Patrick Swayze? We discussed Patrick Swayze.
With Dirty Dancing.
No one said anything about Patrick Swayze.
Well, he's dead. My dad's favorite movie, Ghost.
You know what's a strange performance that you don't expect him? And so he was a weird choice for it. Was him and Donnie Darko.
I've never seen that movie.
Of course you haven't.
Was it good?
Don't ask me if Donnie Darko is a good movie.
Why?
Don't ask me if a movie that's so formative. You know what?
Oh, that's a movie with Ian Somerhalder, isn't it?
No, it's not even Somerhalder. It's Jake Gyllenhaal before he was famous.
Oh.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone.
No, I'm not explaining Jenna Malone to you.
No. Is she famous?
She was in Saved.
I kind of remember
her. No, we're not playing this game. I'm already annoyed. We're not playing this game.
Hey, Siri, what does Jenna Malone look like?
Oh, I hate you. I hate you.
It didn't come up. Keep talking. So,
here's the thing. Patrick Swayze, he just played a role that was not him.
Not Jenna Marbles.
Because he was like...
Oh, yeah, Jenna Malone.
Yeah, she's a famous actor.
Well, she doesn't do much anymore.
You'd have to talk to her agent about that.
In a while. She's on strike right now. We support the strike.
I don't know.
We're a SAG podcast.
Way to make a stand.
We are a SAG podcast. Mm-hmm. We do support the strike. So.
Anyway,
Donnie Darko.
I don't know how I got there.
Is it a superhero movie?
No, I hate you. You honestly don't know what it is about.
I don't know what any of that movie's about. I thought that's the movie where Ian Somerhalder's in it and he does something kind of gay.
That is the Bret Easton Ellis. If you hadn't have said it, I would have come up with it. People are screaming. Rules of Attraction.
Rules of Attraction. That's the movie you beat off to a million times.
That's like a kind of gay movie. Yes.
Which is your
James Vanderbeek. James Vanderbeek making out with Ian Somerhalder.
They actually make out?
Yes.
Tongue?
How do I know?
Well, ask an intimacy coordinator.
Exactly.
Why have you shown that movie to me? I want to see gay stuff.
I own it. You could easily.
I don't want to touch your copy. Slippery.
Back to Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
That's a movie about, it's a really existential movie about he's having dreams about something, and then about a man in a rabbit suit. It's also about space-time continuum and the theory of wormholes.
Well, I'd love that movie. They did not. No. They need to name that better.
Than Donnie Darko?
Donnie Darko in space, or time
He's
traveler,
not in space.
Colon, Donnie Darko, then I would know.
People who know that movie and love that movie are really frustrated.
Well, I'm just saying,
right,
they didn't advertise it.
You're
well.
Not explaining
Because I
well.
Like those kind of movies.
Announcements-wise, I'm just praying for death at this point. Listen to our previous episode for all the announcements. September fully loaded, y'all.
Fully loaded.
You're getting a lot of content if you're on the Reality Gaze Plus, mm-hmm. The $5 or the $8 tier,
yes.
And as always on the $15 tier. The shows are Selling the OC, mm-hmm. Which is coming out the 5th.
Plathville is coming out the 5th.
I'm sorry. Selling the OC is coming out the 8th. Plathville is the 5th. Love is Blind After the Altar, Season 4, which is the 1st, which is like literally we're going to be recording this weekend. And then you're also going to get Love is Blind at the end of the month, the 22nd.
Yep.
So that's your fully loaded.
Also, y'all, on our...
like a twink at Fire Island.
Woo! On our RG Plus, we're going to be giving you the... Kim from Cray Cray and I are going to be jumping on the mic. And we're going to be doing a talk about Last Resort. So, because we're watching it, there's some other podcasters too I might talk with as well, since Poodle runs from it in fear.
I I understand that it might be good. I don't love the navel gazing and the overwroughtness of it all. I just, that's not for me.
You would like it.
Maybe. And I watched the first episode and it wasn't bad. But I also just, every time I see Pred's face, I get annoyed.
He's the most important, but we don't talk about him. I skip over his parts.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but when
that'll be
group situations,
out.
You have to watch them.
Yes. And he is always interjecting and making a stupid joke and trying to be
like seeing his face triggers me so much.
And he's always trying to take down other men before they can take down him because he's just feels so insecure because he has his no neck thing and he feels bad about himself.
And I've said this before, his physical appearance is the least defensive thing about him.
Yes. So anyway, they focus more on other couple. It was great. So that's going to be with Kim. Any other announcements? I don't think.
Let's jump in. We got a Broadway corner coming up. About our time in New York.
A duo.
It's a
duet Broadway corner.
You saw More Than Me.
I don't know that show. Who's wrote it?
You saw more shows than me.
More shows. Oh, yes, yes.
Y'all, she's half here. That was, you know what?
You should have kept going. That could have been a who's on first.
That was an unintentional Abbott Costello routine. If you're on the infinite tour, you saw my face go, oh my God, he doesn't know what I just said.
You know what I heard? You know what clicked in my head was.
You saw more than me.
Was Once Upon a One, One More Time.
Yeah.
Which I did not see, even though I do love Justin Guarini. I don't want to see that show.
Sissies have seen it. The issue I have, someone has asked me, people have asked me about that show. In fact, I'm going to stay for the Broadway corner.
Great.
So, because I'll give my opinion about it. Yeah.
I don't think any other announcements. We are still giving money to Hawaii in our Facebook group.
To
a Maui charity. And Sissies in Florida are getting it right now.
Yeah,
we're thinking of
y'all.
Podcasting.
We're recording this on Wednesday, so we're thinking about you, Florida Sissies and Georgia and some South Carolina.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys, the flooding won't be too bad. Hopefully everyone's evacuated if they needed to.
Hopefully they did. So we saw
Idalia.
Daniel and Amber posted. She said, "Must be nice to evacuate the hurricane. I've got to go work my restaurant shift tonight."
That's the most Amber thing I've ever heard.
I was like, "Good for you."
Must be nice to go. I've got to go work my restaurant shift tonight,
Daniel. Their Instagram. They look like they're having so much fun.
Good.
Anyway, I would love to see them again party with them. That would be fun.
And their little queenie friend can lose his phone again.
Yes.
Go to a gay bar.
I had my phone. It was great. What a great night.
I was like, oh my God, I would have been you like 25 years ago. I would have been you.
Yes. We had a great time.
Maybe 20.
Over Podcast Movement. And also, again, we're sending out. Send out our love to Mary Payne to Pink Shade. She's had surgery this week, so she's got all this content. Didn't ask us to be on it.
Good.
We had too much. No, okay.
We would have, though.
We would have done it. Anyway, so we're just sending out a little love to MP. That's it.
Get well soon. Get well soon. We hope you will get well.
Thank you to Chris Fair at DocuSweeties for introducing me to Dior Lip Oil. I'm obsessed.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's so good.
It's another thing.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. I'm not wearing it right now.
I enjoy my lip balm.
That's great. Well, I had one, but I gave it to a friend that I met with because she tried it on, and I said, it looks better on you. Take this one. I'll just get another one.
But it has your cooties all over it.
I just used it once. I just bought it.
Yuck.
You put your mouth on someone's Gamora.
Y'all, listen to our previous episode when you will get a full report on Gamora-ing. Justice for Gamora.
Justice for Gamora.
My Libra self is very upset.
Oh, God.
Because
we're talking about Libras now.
Those cities, It's always mentioned the same breath. Sodom and Gomorrah. What does Gomorrah have? Besides the naming after a Guardians of the Galaxy character.
Who has a lot of money. What? That actor.
Zoe Saldana?
Yeah.
She was famous before Guardians.
I know, but she's in all the richest movie franchises of all time.
Star Trek?
That's not even the bigger ones. Guardians of the Galaxy, Avatar.
I forgot she was in Avatar.
She's the main woman in Avatar and Star Trek, but there's something else. People are screaming.
I'm not a big fan of those movies like you are.
But I'm just saying, I love the Star Trek movies. I want to watch the new series anyway.
Not Brave New Worlds. Far New Worlds.
People out there.
That one's not good. I had a problem with Discovery.
I need to catch up on that in Picard.
Strange New Worlds.
Maybe, yeah.
I need to watch that.
Because it's about the first Captain Kirk.
Yes, Captain Pike. And it's about, and it's like, oh, you more know like the original series. Yes, of course I know who... everyone who knows about the series knows it's Captain Pike. Captain Christopher Pike. Very famous episode when they saw the original Captain.
I don't think people know as in depth as you do.
Anyone who's watched the series knows that it's Captain Pike. People who have a fringe association with Star Trek know who Captain Pike is.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's because you're a Trekkie and you won't admit it. Did you know, I finished the book.
Christian and Cleo.
But did you know in the old Star Trek, did you ever watch the old Star Trek where there was like a little kid who was like an alien king and he would drink this like weird juice?
Yes, I've seen that episode.
That's Ron Howard's brother.
Clint Howard?
That's Clint Howard.
That makes sense. I remember him. He was very strange looking.
Well, that he still goes to conferences for that. You should go meet him. You know how I knew Poodle was a Trekkie? And then we're going to start this show. Is I give Poodle little gifts all the time. And like, for instance, I'm holding this little pin that says Queen. And
no, someone gave that to us.
I know, someone gave it. But like, if I give you something, and Poodle will go, oh, thank you. And then he'll set it
somewhere. Throw it in the garbage.
Kind of like that Sonos box that I gave him 3 months ago. It's just sitting there. When I gave him this, like, I saw it on the comic book website, one of those really nice, it looks like a Star Trek communicator. I gave it to him, and he went, ooh.
I put it in a place.
You got very excited.
I enjoyed it. I'm begging you to move on.
I'm done.
Christian and Cleo.
Christian, that's what you said.
Christian and
Christian
Cleo.
Christian and Cleo.
We're cooking Thanksgiving dinner. He says, now, Cleo, you're going to have to take the lead on this because I can't cook. I can make rice, grilled chicken, steamed broccoli. That's all I can do.
I can also make a mess of our relationship. Now, look, Cleo might have listened to Poodle's turkey tips.
Massaging butter under the skin. Now, you really need to do that for a turkey breast, which is because a turkey breast is so dry. Now, they probably should have cooked it upside down and then browned the skin as they would have went. I prefer the method of cooking a turkey breast. If you're going to cook a turkey breast only, cook it in an actual pot because it doesn't dry out as much.
Like a La Crescette or something like that?
Like in a
Dutch oven.
Dutch oven, yes.
Did it make you want...
Neither Dutch nor an oven.
No.
Discuss.
Discuss. It made me excited for Thanksgiving. I mean, it's basically... when this episode airs, it's fall.
You're going to be in Italy. You're not going to get a Thanksgiving.
Oh, pasta. It's fine. I'll eat it when I come back for Christmas. They all cook it then.
Oh, they have the same dinner?
It's fall. By the way, it is fall almost for everybody when they're listening to this.
Not Los Angeles.
It's September. Might as well be.
It's not fall until September 21st.
Starbucks has its pumpkin stuff out.
I know, and they're basic.
Look good.
They can fuck off.
Oh, I'm telling you, I got to get back into tennis because I stayed at a hotel where the tennis players were staying, and I stood behind a guy who I'm pretty sure was a somewhat famous tennis player from some Spanish-speaking country because that's what he was speaking. Mm-hmm. His ass looked like an ass that Michelangelo would sculpt.
Oh, lovingly.
Just like, and right under his little Under Armour shorts, just could reach out and touch it.
I'm uncomfortable.
Let's go.
Okay.
Christian and Cleo.
So y'all, Christian is, of course, being filthy and massaging the butter under his skin and doing shtick the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like watching me do that. I wrote, ew, ew. Making you jealous of the turkey, Cleo?
It made me laugh, but also it's telling that Cleo hasn't let this go when Cleo said, are you going to invite that turkey over for dinner?
That was genius.
That was burn.
She has gotten in two massive reads.
She has.
In the last, and I wish, I and when she told Christian, when he was talking about his small neck on the last episode, she's like, my Adam's apple's bigger than yours. That was the first, like, epic read.
Epic read.
And
epic
then
read.
This, it's like, boy, am I making you jealous with this turkey? He's like, well, I don't know. It'd make me jealous if you would talk to this turkey and maybe invite it over for Thanksgiving. So maybe don't do that.
So Jane shows up, y'all, looking with her, not stank face, but sweet face, because you don't know what
she just has a smile. Mm. Jane is not fully British. She's like Eastern European or something like that. Mm-hmm. And y'all, an Eastern European woman is going to hold her secrets and then unleash on you. Yeah. This woman is something.
I'll take your word for it.
He also said, though, he had to come back to her. He says, you're the only bird I need.
I will say her cats are really cute.
They are.
Christian says, I'm hoping to make a better impression. And Cleo says... says they have to look at one another. They all cheers, and Cleo's like, wait a minute, we all have to look at each other in the eye. Y'all know how I feel about that. I've gone off on that, I think, on this show before. I hate it.
Why?
I hate it when you're in the middle of dinner and you're cheersing someone.
And someone goes, hey!
Someone goes like, you go, cheers, and you're just being nice looking, and they're like, you didn't look at me in the eye. Look at me in the eye. Look at me in the eye. Look at me in the eye.
It's a lot.
Stupid.
It's a lot. I'm okay.
Who cares?
I'm okay with looking people in the eyes. I don't want to be chastised, nor do I want to get stared at by someone.
No, it makes me not want to. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying not to spill my alcohol all over the table. So I'm looking at my drink when I cheers.
I think that is, I've done that before, and I usually do spill my drink because usually...
You're not paying attention, especially if you've got a martini.
And I'm already a little tipsy.
Exactly.
I've already had like 2 to 3 pregame drinks before dinner.
I'm going to say this now. End eye gazing and cheers. Save that for intimate sex.
I'm surprised. And so I actually agreed with Christian here because sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to like slam into the glasses.
Yes.
And they both went, what do you mean?
Well, you're an aggressive cheerser.
True, I am.
And you break glasses.
But at one point, I was kind of like, this is where I kind of felt like that Cleo, I can't believe I'm defending him because y'all know how I hate this guy.
Wow.
That it felt like a setup.
You love him.
Stop it! No, but I'm serious. Did you not get that feeling at all?
No, it did feel like he was, he was just set up to fail. And remember, he invited a woman to this. So just imagine if that woman was there and didn't have to go to Brussels.
Totally agree. I still think I'm gonna hit you with this because maybe this is way off base and I need to really think about what I've done. I just sit in a corner.
I like it when you say that.
But so he's carving the turkey breast. And Cleo kind of casually brings up, he's like, well, you won't believe it, that there was only going to be 3 of us, but there was going to be another because he invited a random girl.
I don't think she should have brought it up at Thanksgiving.
But no, and if he's hoping to make Jane feel better about him, that's not the way to do it. And so, of course, Jane just smiles and going, what do you mean? You were talking to a girl. And then there's this false equivalency because I don't want to talk about this. They say, well, go out to these bars, do you have conversation with guys? He's like, well, I do, but like half the women on this planet are female. Bad answer. Everything is an evasion.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to address this. Men who talk to girls like this are weirdo guys who don't have guy friends. They also find it hard to relate to a lot of men.
I can see a lot of people like that.
This guy cannot relate to other straight men.
I agree with that.
So that's
he feels inferior.
Yes,
I think.
And that's I'm like, I cannot believe I'm defending this piece of trash.
But what if both things are true? Yes, that's true. Why he does it, and it is dumb for him to think that any woman is not going to think you're trying to hit on me.
Totally agree with you.
It's and that to me is male hubris. Of
but
just,
what,
well, I can,
what they are saying, what Cleo and Jane are saying is, you don't talk to men and only talk to women because you were always flirting with these girls and you want to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it is, and I understand, though, why they think that. And
I don't think either of them know a lot of straight men.
And I also think...
Especially Americans like him.
It's just, I don't think it's this one determinant.
Yeah.
It all, I understand why they think of that way, because she says, Cleo says, I don't care if you have other female friends. It just feels like randomly talking to people. That combined with, it was like she had to like pull him to have any physical connection with her.
True.
She had to keep asking him just to feel like he's even interested in her. So combined, if he was probably dicking her down on the nightly,
yeah,
and like making her feel loved and supported, she might not have a problem with it.
I disagree. I think her insecurity.
Well,
with
she's
that,
insecure.
Yeah.
Jane would have a problem with
now,
it.
Now, what happened when Jane says, so why do you feel the motivation to talk to strangers? Why? Why do you have the motivation to talk to strangers? Because you and Christian are similar in that regard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although I never talk to people that I would hit on or would want to have sex with.
So what if...
I'm too shy.
What if he's not wanting to do that? I'm throwing that out there.
That's true, but I also it's different. It's not a comparable because he's a straight man and with women, I'm a gay guy. It's
what if
different.
You're talking to another gay guy like you were when we were out?
When we were out?
When we were out at the hotel, the gays who were around us.
Well, they came and talked to me because they didn't like, they wanted to know why did they not get a real glass like
you
got.
Would not want to talk to a gay guy who you weren't interested in. You would not talk to
I'd be
to
too nervous to talk to someone that
but
I was attracted to.
Let's say you're
to.
Not attracted to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if someone feels sister, then maybe I would talk to them.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, but it's also a little different too, because sometimes in some social settings too, I will talk to gay people if I need to assess safety and I don't know if I'm not in a gay area.
Right.
That's almost more what I would start up a conversation with somebody and be like, girl, and stuff like
right.
that.
But I'm asking you to see this from his perspective.
I am, but I'm just saying if I was in a gay bar in West Hollywood,
yeah.
I would, where it people, and he's meeting someone at a bar,
yeah.
at a straight bar, where that's primed to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
If I talk to anyone there, I would have a knowing. It's different than talking to someone at the grocery store.
Gotcha.
I would have a knowing that this is a time and the place where people meet to go out with one
okay,
another.
Okay, I see.
I think a lot of it is to where, like she said, they're at these places.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with everything you're saying. I'm agreeing, but I'm just saying I feel like you're looking at it more as like a, it's black or white, but it's so combined with all the other things that's
but
going
no,
on.
No, that's exactly what I want. I think Jane and Cleo are seeing it as black and white.
Yeah.
Like you're only talking to women to sleep with them.
Which, and how could she see the complexity? Because nothing else matters. Because Cleo just thinks, he doesn't love me, he doesn't love me, he doesn't
and
love me. Like
she
a constant
she's autistic.
So, yeah, that's literally on a constant loop for her.
And Jane's not helping.
So anything that's going to bring that thought to the forefront and make that thought louder is going to get amplified more than other...
Right.
Other situational things that you're talking about.
I also wrote down, Christian talks to people, whether it's women or men, because he can't sit with himself. He's mm-hmm. not comfortable and he needs constant attention.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he's a douchebag? Yes. Do I think he's always trying to cheat on people? No.
I wonder if he's cheated on people in the past before.
That's a good question.
I understand as he's talking to them, I understand that he's, especially with both of them, he's getting really, I mean, I think part of it, he's thinking about the show, but also he's getting super defensive because he keeps saying, you're trying to make me out to be somebody I'm not.
Which he's really afraid of.
Which, every time he talks about it, it just makes him look worse, honestly.
Yeah. But Don't you
but
think...
But I understand why he's saying it.
But don't you think that's... It's the whole... Cleo has someone there who's going to completely be on her side regardless.
And he doesn't.
And he doesn't, and he gets... He has been accused of being this person before. And it's just like... It's not that I don't think anyone that Christian's misunderstood. I think I know exactly who he is. But I don't think that every woman he talks to, he wants to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm defending him. And this may be a weird...
Wow.
A weird branch to crawl out on.
Wow.
But I really think... There is a certain type of guy like Christian who has all female friends, who maybe has a couple of work friends who are male, but they and he is like flirting with them. He flirts with girls because he flirts. And that makes him feel alive. I don't think he wants to fuck all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian on tow with Rebecca, Christian wants to fuck all those girls. I don't think...
I wish he'd fuck some of those boys. This
Christian. The Christian on tow wants to fuck all those girls. Christian on B90, I don't think he has no game. He wouldn't be able to.
No, I don't think he has game.
Yeah. So I think that's where I draw the distinction. And I think he's so sensitive in his soul. That's why he gets defensive.
I just don't think they see each other in the correct way for kind of how they present to the world. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't seem, as she said before... He's so good looking. He's such a catch.
Ugh.
She puts him on this pedestal. So she can't see him that... You can't see someone for who they are when you're too busy shrouded in your own... When you're your own incomplete self-worth.
What I hate is
that's
when,
super important. She'll never be able to see him like that.
When Jane leaves, he basically says, why'd you bring that up after we had talked about it? And she apologizes... And then she feels like shit, and he feels like shit, and they're basically out-shaming the other to a point where he wants to talk about it, and I don't even think anything can be accomplished. She leaves.
And we never find out if the turkey was dry or not.
Spoiler alert, it was.
You think? Just by looking at
it? She put a ton of butter in there, but I guarantee you they overcooked it. You gotta take a turkey breast out.
I thought the food way before it.
Canned peas. No.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even keep going queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh-oh, he's turned his pad over. That means...
canned peas!
That means it's time for Go the New York See a Show. Get out there with your hoes, because it's time to talk about musical theater, because it's
Maddie and Poodle's Broadway Corner.
You could have even said Poodle's Broadway Corner. I wouldn't have been upset, but thank you for
the
inclusion.
I wanted to include you.
I appreciate that.
Because you saw...
my heart hurt.
You saw Broadway Corner. You saw Broadway, and I saw Broadway.
There's a show called Broadway Corner?
Okay. I'm writing it. And as long as you do it in the format that I require, we'll be fine.
Always. When do I ever veer from it?
We were in New York and saw... I was going to try to see another show. I couldn't put it into my schedule. You got to see two shows. Oh, no, three.
I saw three.
You saw three shows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You were there a day longer than I was.
I was.
I would have seen something if I wasn't there.
That's why I stayed a day longer, so I could see that show.
Yeah. Let's talk about the show that we saw together.
Yes.
The revival of Sweeney Todd.
Anna, she's back now, too.
Anna Lee Ashford.
Anna Lee Ashford. Yeah. We didn't see her. We saw the understudy.
Gina DeWalt.
But we did see Josh Groban.
Yes, we did.
We did. My first time seeing Sweeney, period.
What did you think of the piece? You've never seen it before.
No. And I actually didn't even know the story.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I didn't know Miss Lovett died at the end. Who knew?
Everyone dies at the end, you bitch.
I did.
Except for Anthony Toby. And Joanna.
Or Anthony, yeah.
Toby's gonna die.
Yeah.
Certainly. He'll go to Fogg's Insane Asylum.
There you go. So I didn't know all that. But
disappointed they didn't give him their white hair.
I did know, though, about half the songs just from
being
in the musical theater world.
What do you think of it as a piece?
I loved
it. As a musical.
I thought it was... I would arguably, I think say maybe my favorite Sondheim piece I've seen on stage.
Wow.
Really liked it.
It is my favorite as well.
The staging of this is so...
I have several favorites.
The music is super...
26-piece orchestra.
Just hearing them live. But the music, you already knew this, but some of the musical moments were some of the most complex.
Oh, yes.
And like I would hear it, but then Poodle would lean over and say, this is a really hard part with the 3/4 pinch, and this is where they do this, and which I don't mind. I think it's cute because he gets excited.
I was adding a little commentary. Y'all,
he even, like, during the show when they do different time numbers, I look over and Poodle's conducting. It's so cute. It doesn't bother me at all. I think it's really sweet.
And all of the 5/8 sections.
He gets very excited.
And I apologize to the woman next to me because I was convulsing.
She didn't know.
No, she was there on a book report or something.
No, yeah. But no, yeah. You had seen a lot of it, so.
I've seen a lot of versions of it. The fifth time I've seen the show. Not done very often because it's very difficult. It's a very difficult show musically. It's very difficult to cast. It requires a certain level of tech. I mean, you have to have a chair that can somehow put people down into a chute.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know Sweeney and the plot, it is about a murderous barber who's trying to avenge the supposed death of his wife.
I'd seen the movie.
Yeah.
And
Terrible.
And I'd forgotten the end. I forgot I didn't even remember the end. The movie's so forgettable. So don't watch it.
I would agree. See a local production if you can.
You could see probably, I think you can see the stage version with Angela Lansbury.
I think it's still on Netflix. Or somewhere online.
Yeah, I would watch that.
The music was performed pretty much as pristine as I've ever heard it.
That's a good word for it. Super clean.
Everything was clean. The diction was marvelous. I can walk away. I had two problems. Like I said, I had two problems. Probably three. And y'all, when I can choose three problems to have, that's a damn good review for me.
Mm.
Just let me just say that. I wanted Toby's hair to be white at the end. That's a thing. They chose not to do it. It's fine. And also, I wanted the factory whistle to be there, and it wasn't. That's the horrible sound. They just took it out of this production. I'm not sure why. They could have used a synth stop, but they didn't do it.
I didn't notice.
The direction was immaculate by Tommy Cale.
I love the choreography.
So by Stephen Hoggett. I hated it on Tony's, but I loved it in this theater.
Hmm.
The other third thing I did not like was Joanna.
Yeah,
like
we both
you pointed out.
We both
did not like the way she was directed or the way she was doing the show.
Yes.
All the secondary characters, the Beatle, the Judge, Pirelli, incredible.
Really
Everyone
wonderful.
Was incredible.
Really wonderful.
Yeah. Toby was incredible.
It was great.
Everybody was incredible. The ensemble sounded spectacular.
They did sound
Groban
good.
Got me more than I thought he would.
A little bit was kind of his voice shaking like this, like Tony the Tiger sometimes.
Yeah.
But I got to say, he made it work for me.
He did.
I was worried about him. What I hated, and I asked you, you could hear me, I'm like, why are they laughing? The audience.
Yeah, I'll set this up. Like when Sweeney kills someone, and especially when he kills people, like people that you know as an audience member, you already know that he's probably, I mean, this is a big spoiler alert. So if you don't want to see the show, you're going to see it.
When bad people die, like when Sweeney kills a quote-unquote bad person.
Or let's say a poor beggar woman that you know is probably more than that.
Yeah.
My reaction was, oh, God.
It's a further descent into
madness.
People
laughed, or when he killed the quote bad person, people cheered. And you were confused by that.
And I went, it wasn't confused. I was, don't you understand what show you're in? When they say, woe to these who moralize. It's in the prologue.
It is.
And that's the point of the show. That's the point of the prologue and the epilogue, is to say, attend this. And now, what would you have done? No one fucking listened to the prologue.
Well,
and I know I'm on a soapbox, but
But I know I told Poodle, this is what happens when you go see a musical with someone famous like Josh Groban, is people are there, they don't see Sweeney Todd. They see, oh, Josh Groban just killed the bad... Carl, Josh Groban just killed the bad person.
Yay!
That's what they're seeing, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I agree. It's just...
That made you seem to go less crazy about it when I said it, because he was livid.
I just... It's a show for theater people.
That's that part.
And I understand you need to put butts in seats. I totally get it in this day and age, but like...
It didn't feel like they did. It didn't feel like it was directed
that
way.
Yeah.
I think because they could, because Sondheim just died, and it's Josh Groban, they know people. And they really treated the source material with the respect it deserved.
I think if I could have seen it like opening weekend, it might have been different than the most touristy time possible.
We'll see. I'm going back to New York in October.
The biggest problem I had was y'all, not the show. It was the audience.
I might see it again just to see Annalee Ashford.
Like
to see. And I like the show so much. I kind of want to see what I missed.
Tell us about Goodnight Oscar. You saw Sean Hayes in Goodnight Oscar.
Loved it. You know, I saw, I think I told you like the first 10 minutes of the play were a little slow, just dialogue-wise, not acting-wise. I am still thinking about his performance in that show.
Yeah.
It was such a great show.
Oscar Levant.
Goodnight Oscar. It's about Oscar Levant, this guy who, I don't know if he was, I don't think he was homosexual.
Yes,
but
he was.
But I thought he, yeah. The,
closeted.
But he had a wife. But he was known for like.
So did I.
Basically somebody, somebody Poodle would have been in like the 1950s.
Totally.
Where he just goes on talk shows and smokes and talks shit about people and makes quips.
And played piano.
He was, what's the word I'm thinking of? Tom Twain, Mark Twain. Like
Mark
he was
Twain.
Like a humorist or a critique. And so, humorist, yes. And so.
Tom Twain, yes.
He was on Jack Parr's show a lot. And Jack Parr would even end every show and say, and wherever you are, good night, Oscar.
Good night,
Levant.
Oscar.
And that's the way. And so that's why it's called Good Night, Oscar. Sean Hayne plays this character. And it was so, you know, you worry a little bit like when the guy had a very certain way he spoke, the way he talked. And he had, I'm really actually sad you didn't see it. As a musician, I think it really would have spoke to you.
They filmed it for PBS.
I would say watch it.
Yeah.
Just to see, because the way they did the show, it he was brilliantly smart and he had horrendous mental illness.
Yep. Also, I think there's been announced that he's going to do it out here.
Oh,
so that's
that makes
sense.
That's another
reason I didn't go.
I'm glad I got to see it in New York. It was a great...
I get it.
It was to see... You know me, I'm not like a crier, although I cry more now at things, but not sad things, but more when people do something that's really hard.
I've never seen it.
And it's impressive to me. well, there you go. Okay. But the whole point is since a lot of people won't see the play, is that he always wrote his own music, and he always wanted to play his own music. And he was so terrified, and the voices in his head said, no one's going to listen to your music. No one cares about what you want to say. And apparently the way this play dramatizes that, literally Bernstein is in his head talking to him.
Wow.
Saying, you have to play my piece. You have. So, like, he goes, unlike, and when he went, he could play, he was very famously known for playing.
Bernstein or Gershwin?
Gershwin, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was very famously known for
Rhapsody
playing
in
Rhapsody in Blue.
Yep.
If you don't, if you're not a musician, that's the old United Airlines thing. Tongue pop.
That sounds like a conga.
It does. But so there's this buildup in the show where he finally is going to play his first piece on the piano, and he gets up there, and he plays Rhapsody. Yeah. And your heart
I already knew that.
Breaks.
Yeah.
And but the performance of seeing Sean Hayes as a pianist perform a technically incredibly hard piano piece, but to perform that in character with someone who is in the throes of a mental breakdown,
yep,
and make it seem real. After he finished, the audience stood up and he got a 5-minute standing ovation.
It's why he won the Tony.
And I started crying.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the biggest, as an actor, it was one of the most impressive feats I've ever seen in person. It was amazing.
This hasn't been announced yet, but it's going to be, they think it's going to be the bonus show at the Geffen. I've heard. That's why I was kind of waiting.
It would play well there.
Yep.
So, loved it. It was great. Kimberly Akimbo's fine.
You really liked it. You saw.
I want to make Poodle angry.
He saw the show that I was like, this is my favorite thing that I've seen in New Broadway. Everything else was dwarfed by it that I saw.
You know what? This is what I think about Kimberly Akimbo. Was the music amazing? No. Were there a lot of songs that I could sing when I left the theater from it? No. I'll be honest. I actually said this to myself. I'm saying this on the mic, but I'm not just saying. I went, Jake has written better musicals than this, than I think this show.
That's wonderful.
But it reminded me, actually, a lot of the shows you like to do.
Yep.
And that it's about taking a simple human story and a simple want and just letting that play out and not trying to force it into something theatrical.
Letting form dictate content.
And making it bigger than it needs to be, mm-hmm, which is what a lot of musicals do now, yep, which is like one of my big things and why I hate a lot of like it's just so much. And that's why I think why a lot of people hate musical, because it feels, we're depressed. Like, it makes no sense. Anyway, but you were right, though. It's just a gem of a show. Yeah. Really wonderful performances. I thought it was, the first act I was like, okay, I like it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like kind of drawn into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what pulled me in was that number, this is a number I thought was the best number of the show, was the turn.
Oh.
Where they're at the table. The stage, the music of it, the way it was sung.
So smart.
That's where I was like, oh. Yeah. So
smart.
Anyway, I enjoyed it, but I'm going to say this. I think Miss Anthony will write a more successful musical.
Well,
it'll be called Gay Home.
Gay Home. I think we can move on now.
And that's our
Broadway Corner.
Barbecue sauce.
It's gonna be long. Amanda and Rosbon.
Long show again.
I don't have a ton to say about Amanda and Rosbon.
I just want to say this. I need him to fuck me down. God, he's hot. Well, I mean, boy. He makes my man pussy wet. Just goosh.
I'm so sorry, Frank. Here's the thing. I think it's because he gets more and more vulnerable and kind of fucked up by her.
Yes.
The longer he's there.
Y'all, he's hot and he's insecure.
Yeah.
He had to have been a fat kid.
Y'all, this woman has this Hooters homewrecker has completely fucked him up.
She has.
By fucking with his head.
And fucking with his body.
It's hard to watch.
Because we see this as a spoiler next week. You hear him saying, oh, because he didn't feel super comfortable and he wasn't feeling great. And she went and banged his brains out that night.
Here's the thing.
I think she's taking an Olga class.
They're on the way to see their parents in Croatia. And he is just kind of losing it. Like, he's disassociating.
By the way, he had to tell her on the 90 Day Fiancé Twitter. It said that she didn't understand why she had to bring her passport. He just said he had to tell her it was a different country.
Because she's a Hooters homewrecker.
Well, also an American. We're terrible at geography. We're idiots.
So turns out when he's like not feeling well and he's kind of moving away from her,
mm-hmm,
she's all over him.
Oh, all over him.
All over his neck, all over him, kissing him. And I said,
she's at her best when she's at the chase.
Oh, yeah. That's what all this was
game
about.
Game recognizes game, which is why I know that.
Boy.
Especially in my 20s.
Especially in his 20s. The way you get Poodle to be into you is to not be into him.
Is to ignore me.
Oh.
Ignore me and I'll follow you anywhere.
Drove you crazy.
Or feel like you may be moving away from me. And I'll spite fuck you like she did to him.
She spite fucks him. That's what she does.
She spite fucks him.
She is spite fucking him over and over and over.
And then she says,
and over and over.
And then she says, I said so many hurtful things to him. And I guess it's up for me to just show me I want to be, that I really do want to be with him. Do you?
No.
Or are you just playing at your game of like, your weird, like, Princess Diaries fantasy.
She just wants, it's not a purse. This time it's just pecs, balls, and a taint. It's an accessory. That's what she wants. He's just an accessory.
So he's
her,
like,
exotic man from afar for her to have.
Yeah. And of course he asks, how do you curse in Croatian? He's like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you get fucked by ice.
The crab driver was cute.
He was.
They're in the Dick Riviera, y'all.
They are.
You can't miss.
Very much the center of the Dick Riviera.
Yes.
And y'all, when we say Dick Riviera, we're aware that some of these countries may be landlocked. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's lands of men with big penises.
Because you can still throw your big dick over a national boundary and
yes.
It's the Riviera.
You don't need a passport. You just need an assport.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I think I just blew out our sound. I'm so sorry, Frank. Don't need no passport. Just need your assport.
I would be like Samantha Brown, but it would be assport to Europe. I love Samantha Brown.
That's enough. That's quite enough.
Love her.
So he's basically like saying, oh, by the way, his shirt is so cute and gay. I kind of wanted it.
He's perfect. I'm waiting for him to fuck it up, and I don't think he is now.
I liked him from day one.
So did I.
No, you
did not.
You said he was a horrible fuckboy.
I did no such thing.
Gary, go to the tape. You were quite dismissive.
Don't you really look, Christina?
Christina, what if she drove? I would die. So we see the parents, and this is the first girl he's brought since the ex-wife.
Yes.
And Daniela and Avram and his brother Fabian, I'm not sure. And Amanda's already saying, and the parents are cute. They're maybe slightly older than us. Slightly.
I wrote the mom is, I think, younger than us.
Yeah, maybe.
She's really pretty.
Yeah.
He looks like her.
But
she's pretty.
But they seem kind and not imposing.
Kind? She made homemade chicken soup from scratch and dad cried about how his ex-wife was an asshole.
With the noodles.
With the noodles.
Bitch made homemade noodles.
Homemade noodles.
And basically she's like, Amanda's like, do you need help with anything? And I went, well played, you snake. Already trying to get involved with the mom.
So they sit there, they're eating, and they're talking, and then Amanda says, ask her why her and the ex-wife didn't get along. And I wrote, no, you don't ask this on the first time you meet somebody.
This is all part of her instincts that she needs to blow things up.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
And it's all because there's a part of her inside that knows that she thinks what she's doing is immoral for herself. It's the same reason she fucked her manager at Hooters. And
remember, y'all,
was a husband
she
stealer.
Fucked the manager at Hooters and broke up his family.
And I have no problem with Hooters.
Oh, love Hooters. But I'm going to say this. I think this woman is a narcissist.
100%.
I think she is bad. She's like that Jenny song, Jenny Lewis song. Bad news, baby, you're a bad news.
I think that's Rilo Kiley.
Elvis's granddaughter?
That's Riley Keough.
Oh.
But that's the band, Rilo Kiley, when she's with...
Was that Jenny Lewis, though, is with the
that
band?
That is Jenny Lewis's vocals.
Vocal.
With Rilo
Kiley. Well, she's bad news. That's all I want to say. And...
But you know,
someone needs to save Razvan.
I could kind of see how you would go Riley Keough or Rilo Kiley. I understand that switch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, so there.
Big custody battle for the Presleys right now.
Basically, they're talking about kids, and she's like, oh, I have two wonderful children. They're just such good kids.
Sitting at home under prayer blankets.
I just give them daddy's box, and they can amuse themselves for hours. Some sissy said to me, because there's a second family, did they get half of his ashes? Is there a second daddy's box? And it blew my mind.
Wait, so the husband she ended up leaving? Oh, yeah, because he had a family, too.
He left another family.
Oh, my. There's daddy's boxes.
Now, could he be one of these people who completely, I don't know if he did. Did he leave that family and completely abandon them and one of those people who never talked to his family again? That's gross. But that happens sometimes. They were older.
Oh, man, I just...
But maybe there is a Daddy's Box sequel out there.
Amanda's just playing with people's lives.
Yes, exactly
like
what she's
doing.
Like
it's the game of Sorry.
That's exactly it.
She's just hitting that pop thing and just rolling the dice, and that's what she's going to do for the rest of her life.
She did her manager the same way.
She needs to hope and pray. She needs to get under those prayer blankets and pray that at least one, or if not... both of her sons will be gay. Otherwise, they're going to hate her.
I think she only has one.
She has two sons.
And a daughter.
No, she has two sons.
Son and a daughter.
Oh.
No, the other was named like Kaylee or something like
that.
Oh,
she better hope that daughter's
remember
a lesbian.
Junior? They named the son Junior?
That daughter's going to hate her mom because she's going to learn all her dating issues from her mom. It's just a cycle, y'all.
So, y'all... They're talking about the ex, and the dad's like, well, they didn't have good... Their communication wasn't good. She was always pushing away his views, and the dad's like, I don't think she loved him. And the dad cries.
He's crying, and then he says... The dad's not dumb, and he says, the energy that's coming from their relationship, I hope Razvan isn't making the same mistake. He said, it doesn't seem 100%, it doesn't seem uneasy. And I went, of course... Razvan's making a mistake because he chose his pattern, not what is he chose his pattern, not his desire, not what he wants.
That's really good.
That's you what we all do. We choose our pattern.
Choose your pattern. You have to choose your pattern unless you radically jerk the steering wheel over to another lane.
If you have patterns of dating someone who's terrible
in your life that happen day to day. That's from Baby, the musical. That's the
the older woman's song where she's like, not sure she can have a baby.
Oh, wow. Sing it to miserable bitch.
That's mean.
But, well, what I was going to say is, though, if you have patterns of dating someone who's terrible or it always ends in chaos.
Not familiar.
Not familiar. When you first find a relationship,
feeling a little called out.
When you first find a relationship that's not your pattern, it's going to feel like you're wearing a glove with three fingers at first.
Yep.
I have a feeling for Rasvin, this was just like slipping in old memories.
Yep. I agree with you.
Speaking of slipping in, Rasvin, Assport. If you're watching Into Proportion, I lifted up my leg.
Speaking of slipping in, let's talk about David trying to slip in that big old red, angry, clown nose American penis into Sheila.
I love that someone got reality gayed while we were talking about David's penis.
And I wrote hearts on this because this has been one of my favorite 90-day segments, just their whole arc this episode that I've seen in a long time.
I need them to succeed.
I do too, but I'm just saying the way this was handled, y'all, she is signing better, and they created segments in this that were almost entirely, there was no spoken dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it just let you pay attention to the moments happening as they were. It made you pay attention. It made you lean in. This was beautiful television.
Did you cry?
Match, of course I did. I ugly cried.
It's beautiful.
I'm human inside.
You've had enough in you.
I have to say that. I'm human inside.
You've had enough seeds. So they're on vacation. They're on this beach getaway. They're going snorkeling. They're joking about sharks. Would you
have snorkeled with the turtles?
Oh, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be afraid of them touching you?
No, I'm not scared of turtles.
What if there were fish around?
Fish, I wouldn't have minded, but I wouldn't want sharks or eels. Get
You're
away.
You're not going to have sharks or eels.
Well, what if they come up?
So, but would you snorkel?
They might see my little love handle and go, that looks plump.
I have a feeling you'd be on the boat.
No, but I want to snorkel. I've never been snorkeling. I would like to do that.
I think we should film you snorkeling.
I think I would love to do it with turtles.
But you know, taking turtles means there are other fish and other things down there.
I'm okay with that. Don't want a praying mantis.
That's not underwater.
Or not a praying mantis, but that thing that killed the crocodile guy.
Stingray.
They'll kill you.
Not sure how you
stung
said...
Stung him in the heart.
Is that what happened?
Yes! Stung him in the heart.
That's sad. But there are things down there.
What I saw in the video, I am open to.
Okay.
As long as it's a turtle and a fish that looks like Ellen, I'm fine.
Okay. I'll hope you can curate that.
Just hope the fish is nicer than Ellen. Then I'd be worried.
Finding bitchy.
Okay. So they snorkel. Y'all... All this kind of gets to me, is
there
this dinner.
But I think when they're signing earlier, they're on the boat, it's like now they can communicate. They're not having to use a translator or like Jihoon and Devin. Now they can speak the same language and they can play. And they can like let their guard down with one another.
Yes.
And that this is the whole thing when people don't speak each other's language.
It's like my Lyft driver. I was driving home from the airport today.
I don't know where this is going.
And this man was talking to me, and I was kind of talking. He talked to me first in English. He had an accent of some kind, and so I could tell English wasn't his first language. So he's talking to me, and I'm talking to him, thinking he understands. Well, then he pulls out a translator. I've never had anybody do this. And he speaks Chinese into it, and then it translates to me and tells me that there's... I guess there was a lot of riots today with hotel or...
Not riots.
That's a way... Protests.
Protests.
So he told me that we're going a different way because of traffic. But yeah. I thought of David and Sheila because I thought...
Or union protests.
Just to like get to that took a long time to get to that.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But man, it's got to be hard when it's somebody you're in love with and you want to have a relationship with and have because someone you're intimate with, and I don't mean physically, but when you're emotionally intimate with someone, you almost feel like they can not finish your sentence, but they are on the same page as you.
It is a requirement that one of the partners needs to learn the other's language.
Again, think about it. What person from 90 Day Fiancé that didn't learn the language are together? Devin and Ji-hoon, gone. Of course, I think there was other factors in that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Who
learned English?
Anna and Marcel. Marcel ended up learning English.
Yes. There's a couple, but they have to work really hard.
I love you, chicken. And Luis.
Yes.
He took a test.
He read children's books.
Yes.
I just loved also when they're at dinner later on and she's like, I'm kind of sad. And she's like, I've never had anything like this. I'm sad because your time is you're leaving soon.
It was a good reveal though, because you don't know why she's sad. You're like, are you sad because her mom died? Are you sad because her house is falling apart and they have to pay $7,000? There's a lot of things she can be sad about.
Her mother died last week.
Five episodes ago. Last week.
Her mother fell and died.
Yeah.
It's been a lot for the poor woman.
But yeah, she said, it's because I'm going to miss you. And then David, I'm trying to remember. You know what? David's sweating in the Philippines is what Poodle sweating at the Ohio show without air conditioner was.
Y'all, I had to throw that Dolly Parton costume away. I washed it. Or I couldn't put it in the normal wash, but I hand washed it. I could still smell it.
Y'all, he was drenched everywhere.
That was me at the Columbus show.
Yes.
When the air conditioning broke.
Mm-hmm.
I felt sorry for people who had to. I changed shirts and I felt sorry for people who had to hug me after.
You were very, very sweaty.
Yeah.
David becomes excessively sweaty. And I think he has rosacea or something. And so his face just looks like he's having
like
allergic
penis, like his giant clown nose penis.
Yes, just formidable American dick.
It's formidable American dick.
Penis. But so, and he says to her, he's like, it's hot in here. And she's like, I don't feel it. I'm good.
I love that. And y'all, he gets down on one knee, says, she's crying. He says, will you marry me? Will you do it? And then he's like, yes, honey bear, I'm crying. And
very
then,
sweet.
And then, as he gets him, he knocks over the entire wine, and I howl because this is exactly
it was Shakespearean.
This is exactly how life is.
It took us from highs to lows,
and I'm telling you, I don't know what we're gonna see for the rest of the season.
Her keeps saying, "Is this real? Is
but
this real?"
This scene
and him going, "Yes,"
was my favorite thing I saw this year.
It was great. Mine too.
And the way they handled like the production of how like signing, and there were not a lot of dialogue. It's like that episode of Only Murders in the Building where it was not completely similar, but the way they handle silence.
It was great. I want to say too, even like just shows what kind of person David is.
I love them.
When she keeps saying, This isn't real. And she says, you'll have to slap me. Is this real? And he says, in all sincerity, he's like, I'm not going to slap you. Because he loves her so much, he's going to take care of her.
I'm going to tear up.
And he picks her up, and he carried
Stop
her
it.
Off. Lord, lift us up where we belong.
I'm going to fuck you with my clown dick. I had to make it gross.
In your Gamora.
Here, hold on.
Oh, no. What are you doing? Oh, God. You just put your crotch in front of the camera. What are you doing?
Here. Let's get busy, honey.
Our poor intern. Bless his heart.
That's the show.
That's the show, everybody. You can go to realitygaze.com if you want to listen to the show without commercials. You can. You can do that on the $8 tier on RG Plus. It's the whole enchilada tier. If you want to watch a video of this, you can watch
you
us.
Can see my crotch.
Yeah, you can do that. I'm showing you my ass port right now on
ass
the intimate
port.
Portrait. You can watch that. That's on the $15
Don't
tier.
No passport. Just bring your ass port. That's the lyric to the song, right? Don't need no passport. Just bring your ass board. Sounds like Banana Phone.
It does. All right, everybody. That's it. We're punch drunk. We got to go sleep. We'll see you next week. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
I can't beat Assport and Passport.
That's the show.
That's the show.
We'll see you and your Assport next week. Bye.
Bye.